mind. The front row gets a star. I said, you're so obedient. They're all sitting there expectantly. Well, ladies, you need to find your way to your chairs. All right. Okay. Now I would like you to all just kind of stop talking for a sec or two here. I know it's hard. We've got a lot of words we have to get out in our day. Women say more words than men. You knew that, eh? So when the guy comes home at the end of the day, he's done, but we've just kind of got started, and we just got so much we want to say. But we're just going to kind of stay quiet for the next little bit, because Deb's come up here, and we're looking forward to what she has to share this morning. Our guest speaker this morning is Debbie Yule, married to Dave, and 6 children, age 14 down to 10-month-old, on Thursday, I do believe. And they all come here to Bethel. We're thrilled to have them here. We're so excited to have Deb here this morning. For those of you that might have gone to the Osh Bakun Women's Retreat back in the fall, Deb spoke and shared there at that retreat and touched a lot of hearts. So we've asked Deb to come and share her testimony with us here this morning. Anyone who knows Deb will know what a joy and an inspiration she is. So let's just give Deb a warm coffee hour welcome.
Thanks, Joyce. good morning, ladies. I am not a public speaker, so I am a little nervous, wondering what's going to come out of this mouth of mine, but that's in the Lord's hands. I have 8 sheets here, but hopefully, said if I do follow it, you know, or if I write it down, then I'm going to want to follow it, which means I'm going to read it, which I don't really want to do. So if I get stuck, maybe a friend can help or something. Anyway, maybe we can pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. You have given me a story to share, and I want to bring honor and glory to you through what I say. Lord, please help these lips of mine to do that. I just pray for each lady here, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am thankful for this opportunity that you have given me to share. I hope that I will give you something to think about. I've already been introduced. I'm Debbie Yule. I have been married to Dave for almost 21 years. Our pictures are up there with my children. On the right is Elizabeth, and she's 14. On the left is Hannah, who is 11. Esther is 8. Naomi is 5. Leah is 2. And James will be 10 months tomorrow. Last fall, we were involved in a Bible study with Bethel, one of our small groups. It was called When God's People Pray by Jim Cimbala. We were also involved in a weekend retreat at the chapel here called Focus on Parenting, and it was through Focus on the Family. Our heart's desire, Dave and I, was always to serve the Lord, except for a few years in between when we were first married that we decided to do our own thing. We wanted to honor the Lord with our lives. What seemed to impress both of us during those studies was the realness of God. Oh, we knew a lot. We had the backgrounds, but our desires were for Jesus, but we didn't seem to be able to tap into his power and his reality. Unknown to each other, we were both praying at the same time for more of Jesus, more power, more reality, and more of Jesus in our lives. And that was around November of 2009. At the Focus on Parenting sessions, Matthew West was the guest singer, and he had a song that really struck me, and it became kind of a theme song for me for a while. And if I was in the truck all alone, driving home, and it came on the radio, I would sing it at the top of my lungs. You'd be thankful you weren't there. Anyway, it was called The Motions, and I will read you some of the words. This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something, because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? No regrets, not this time. I'm going to let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something, because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life. Because I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? Take me all the way. Take me all the way. Because I don't want to go through the motions. Take me all the way. I know I'm finally feeling something real. Take me all the way. At this point in my pregnancy, I was pregnant with number 6. We had 5 girls. And I had just turned 40. And being pregnant again really wasn't on the list of things for us to do. We were quite content with 5 girls, and it was a bit of a surprise. Anyway, we were still excited. But at this point in my pregnancy, I was, 3 or 4 months along. Everything seemed to be going well, except for a breast infection that I had that wasn't going away. And I'd never had one before, mastitis. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't want to go to the doctors because then you'd have to show them your breast. I just thought, oh, it's hormones. It'll go away. Well, it wasn't going away, so I finally had to go to the doctor and show them my breast. Anyway, they put me on antibiotics, and that didn't work. So I went to naturopath and tried some things there, and that didn't work. And so I went back to my naturopath for a follow-up appointment, and she said, I need you to go back down to, the walk-in center or whatever, see a doctor. I'm not for antibiotics, but in this case, I think you need it. And I'm sitting there thinking, do I have anything to worry about? What's going on here? Most people said, no, you don't have anything to worry about. So I kept going on. On February 5th last year, I was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer. I had never heard of it before. It's amazing what goes through your mind when you get news like that. It was the day before my Grandma Rankin's 90th birthday party. Sorry, Grandma. my first thought was, all the women in my family have lived into their 90s. I'm going to, too. Well, we all know that the Lord is in control of that, not us. But believe me, I come from good stock, and I will do what I can do to make that happen. inflammatory breast cancer, for those of you that have never heard of it, is a very rare, very aggressive type of breast cancer. The fact that I was pregnant seemed to compound the problem. So off I started on my journey that is still going on today. Appointments became a daily occurrence. It's amazing how all-consuming something like cancer can be. There were oncologist appointments, surgeon appointments, different procedures to have done. And because I was 7.5 months pregnant, there was weekly obstetrician appointments. I would be in the cancer clinic, and I had one older gentleman look at me and say, you're in the wrong place, lady. I said, Oh, I wish I was, but I'm going there next. So the Lord has been so real to us all the way through. He has shown his faithfulness in so many ways. He has answered our prayer of having more of him, seeing his realness, seeing his power. There was decisions to make, but they were all kind of made for me. One of the big things because I was pregnant was, do we have this baby now? Or do we wait and induce you closer to when you're due? Do we give you chemo? And I'm thinking, my goodness, I can't even hardly take a Tylenol, and you're going to give me chemo when I'm pregnant? They did. And on March 27th, I delivered a precious baby boy. 3 weeks early, they had to induce me between chemo treatments, with a full head of hair. He and neither Dave or I had any. So it was kind of neat. But he was born 3 weeks early at 9-2. So I am thankful that I didn't have to carry him full term. Little Leah was 10-8 when she was born, and that was one of my prayers when I found out I was pregnant. Oh, Lord, please, I don't want an 11-pound baby. So we got a 9-2 baby. And he turns 10 months tomorrow. And he has been such a blessing and such a content little guy. And there is a reason that he's here. The fact that I was far enough along in my pregnancy into the third term was the reason that they could give me chemo. And I think that's why I didn't find out what I had until then, because that would have brought a whole pile of different decisions to be made. Anyway, so you can see our family, and each child is such a blessing. And yet being diagnosed with cancer and having such a young family is kind of scary. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows what we all need, and he loves my children more than I do. And he has a purpose for them, just like he has a purpose for each one of us. Do you believe in God or in coincidences? This last year has been filled with amazing stories of God's provision and working in our lives. We believe in God, not coincidences. Saturday, the day after my diagnosis, was a very busy day. We had the Awana's Grand Prix here at Bethel for the kids. We had worked tirelessly on cars, and I think they did quite well. But that was, we had to be here for 9 o'clock in the morning, and we were just wiped right out from the news and the everything. Anyway, we came, and then there was my grandmother's come-and-go tea in the afternoon, birthday supper for her in the evening with family. And we were in no mood or no shape to see people, and yet it was an encouragement to have people and the support surrounding us. I have to tell you about the water pump story. For those of you who have already heard it, you have to hear it again. We picked the girls up at my sister-in-law Kathy's after the supper. And she said to Dave, how are you guys doing? And he said, we're done. We're exhausted. We're defeated. We're upset. You know, the whole thing. This was about 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. So what do you do with children? You bring them home, try and get them washed for, bathed for Sunday morning, and in bed. Well, we got home. We were all tired. And everybody was starting to get cry and whiny, and including the kids. Anyway, we went to turn the water on. This is 9:30 Saturday night by this time. There was no water. There was no reason for no water. So Dave went out and banged on the pump and checked the thing. The pump was okay. There was no pressure, which wasn't good. There was no water in the water tank, which wasn't good. He thought, oh dear, what are we going to do? So he gathered us all together and said, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. And meanwhile, I had been in there going, oh, there's no water. Dave's going to have a fit. What are we going to do? I can't hide this from him. I can't. We need water. So anyway, he came in and said, we're going to worship the Lord. So we went in and he read us some of Job's story, how he lost everything in one day. And what did Job do? Job worshiped the Lord. So Dave said, while we were doing, while we were reading, a gentleman from the chapel called, and we didn't get it. He just left a message. And he said, we're praying for you, and we love you, and we just needed that. It was perfect timing. Anyway, so after he read Job and whatnot, we started singing, and we sang the song this morning. And I still have a hard time singing it. It was, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description. And as we were singing that through tears as a family, all of a sudden there was this hum in the background. And our pump came on. There was no reason for it. There was no, Dave says, oh, I'm sure there's some explanation for it if you, you know, from a secular point of view. But it was God. And we were so thankful. And that was not the first, but one of the major faith builders. And we said, we are going to share this story from here on out. Another thing we were trying to decide was, what are we going to do for next week? I have a ton of appointments, and Dave has to work. What are we going to do? We don't have the money to take time off. Well, we got the kids to bed, and there had been an envelope sitting on our back doorstep. And Dave and I opened the envelope. And there was $500 in it from a family who we never would have expected anything like that from, or that they would have been able to do that. But there was the money for the next week. Dave could take the time off and come with me to appointments. We also had to put the girls in school. That was a huge decision. I mean, it wasn't a decision. It was we had homeschooled up until this point. So we had to. I couldn't keep homeschooling them and have all these appointments to go to. I couldn't expect anybody to come and do it for me, although we did have somebody come for 3 weeks who took over for that. Anyway, our little school out in Gooley has a principal, and Dave grew up with him. Steve had just taken the position a couple years before, and we had heard that, but had kind of, you know, we were homeschooling, so it was kind of neat. But there was Steve to welcome us in, support us, look after our girls as they adjusted to the school system. That's another God thing. It was amazing. The morning after I was diagnosed, I was having a shower, and I got out. This was before we headed to the Awanas Grand Prix. And we have this little boat in our bathroom on the counter that says, be still and know that I am God. And that's always been a neat verse. I read it. And immediately after was this overwhelming feeling that I got and these words, this illness is not unto death. And I kind of went, whoo, where did that come from? That was weird. I believe it was from God. Satan wouldn't give you a verse like that. Anyway, that is the verse that has, it's a red letter verse. So it is the verse that I have chosen to give you. I hemmed and hawed, whether to or not. But I decided to. I'm going to hang on to that verse and take it as a promise from the Lord. And I actually got to share that with my oncologist. I just had an overwhelming sense and burden to do that, and I'm not usually that bold. But anyway, so he knows that if I do get healed, if a miracle does happen, he may have been a very important part in my care, but it's God. It's God that heals. It's God that is in control of life and death. In Job 42, verse 5, Job became a very important story to us, and the way his faith showed. Job 42, 5 says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. How many of us go through our lives, and we know God is there, God is real, and we can see him working in other people's lives and even in our own, but never feel the power, never feel that he is right there, that he is somebody that you can turn to, that he cares, that he wants to be there for you. So that verse has become a key verse. This last year has been an incredible year of growth for us. God has been more real than he's ever been. And we have seen miracles. And that's just really neat. His faithfulness has increased our faith tremendously. Even in little ways, he has shown his love for us. I did have to go through 6 bouts of chemo. I did lose my hair. That was probably one of the most difficult things. But in all of the chemo, through all the stories of all the people that, you know, ended up in the hospital because of it, were deathly sick, lost all their energy, I didn't have any of that. And it was just amazing. We know the Lord knows, but I had too much to do at home. I couldn't be stuck in bed. Anyway, that was just another example of God's graciousness in our lives. My blood counts really didn't even go down that much other than the first time. I remember one nurse saying, wow, your blood's great. And it's only God. Anyway, just a few more stories that come to mind that the Lord has done in our lives over the last year. Meeting our needs at just the right time. It was always neat how he was meeting needs just when they needed to be met. Not a day before, not a day after. And a lot of these needs we didn't even know we had until somebody was meeting them. One day we were driving into the chapel and we were out of soup at home. Not a big deal, you know. We said, we'll just stop at the way home at the grocery store, get some soup. So as we drove, Dave let us off at the door and we piled out. And a lady drove up behind us and said, open the back of your truck. So I did. I said, why? I bought some soup for you. I started laughing. I said, you bought a soup? A whole case. And she said, what are you laughing for? I said, Dave and I were just saying we needed to stop and get soup. And here it is. We don't have to stop and get soup anymore. We have lots. But something as simple as soup, God cared about. And he already had. I mean, she bought it the day before. We didn't know yesterday that we needed soup. Another story, I had to have surgery, and I had surgery in July, and mastectomy. It got infected, and, you know, Lord, what are you doing? Everything else is going smoothly. Why do I get an infection? Anyway, it took forever. Took a long time to heal, in my mind. Everybody else, all the medical staff, and said, I can't believe how fast you're healing from this. Anyway, I had to have it packed, and I'm sorry if this is kind of, just a little bit graphic, but I had to have it packed every day. So they would take gauze and stick the gauze in the hole, and then take it out and put new gauze in and patch me back up and put a Band-Aid on and away they'd go. Well, my dear friend Andrea Robert is a nurse and she moved out with us for the first week after my surgery to help out and she did the packing until she went Tosh Bakun. And then she had called the nursing company that was coming out to do it and said, I'm leaving, You need to start on Sunday. So Sunday we were waiting for the nurse to come out, and I wasn't thinking anything of it. Finally at 4, Dave called and said, you know, is nobody coming? And they said, well, she wasn't on the list. And it's okay because usually, you know, they would go 2 days without changing it, and which was fine with me because I didn't like the whole thing. Anyway, I had a bump that was starting to form under my arm. I thought, oh, what's this? And then it started getting red. And that morning, I don't know if she's here. I don't see her. But A.V. Reed is a nurse that goes to the chapel, and she came up to Dave, and she said, what can we do for you and Deb? I feel like I have to do something. And Dave said, you've already done more than enough for us. Don't worry about it. And she called that afternoon and said, I feel like I have to do something. And we said, well, there's nothing that we need that we know of right now. So then she called my mom that afternoon, later on in the afternoon, about 4:35, and said, I'm making dinner for Dave and Deb next week. What should I make them? And she never did that. She always just made something marvelous. Anyway, Mom said, oh, Evie, you've done lots for us. You know, there's nothing that we need. And then she said, how are you? And Mom said, well, I'm kind of worried about Debbie. And she explained the story about the nurse not coming. And Evie had worked on a mastectomy floor in Toronto and knew that these things had to be changed every day. She said, well, I'm going to go out and do it. And Mom said, okay, well, I will bring you out. And so she did. And she changed the dressing for me and educated me, and she was very helpful. The lump under my arm went down. The redness went away. It needed to be changed. She didn't let up on that feeling until she did something about it. And the Lord used her in an amazing way that day. And we have had so many examples where the Lord just used people in our lives at the right time, whether it was a phone call or a card, running into somebody, emails. It was neat. It was neat seeing his timing and seeing the response of his people, listening to their God and doing his will. A couple of other cool stories. I do need to get moving, I guess. In our When God's People Pray study, we had taken when God's, you know, when you pray his word, how he listens. And so I was in the shower, and this was before my diagnosis. This was before I had an ultrasound the next day. So I was in the shower that morning getting ready for the ultrasound. And I said, Lord, there's no verse for ultrasounds in the Bible. But you said if I give, you know, that you will answer the desires of my heart. And the desire of my heart right now is that I get my friend Terry as an ultrasound technician. I don't know where she works. but you can have her in the right place at the right time. Anyway, so I said to Dave on the way in, I don't know if it was the right thing to do, but I prayed about this ultrasound that the Lord would give me Terry. And went into the ultrasound and was sitting there in the waiting room, and Terry walked by. And Dave and I went, oh, she works here. And we started chuckling. Thank you, Lord. At least we know she's in this department. And anyway, she came and got me. She did the ultrasound for me. So it was comfortable. I could ask questions. She gave me answers. You don't have anything to worry about. I heard that over and over again. Little did we all know, I did. Anyway, it's been exciting to watch the Lord work in our lives. Even working out radiation because of the infection, it took a while, and I was counting down the weeks. Oh, if I don't start on Monday, I'm going to be going through Christmas. And in the whole scheme of things, that's really not an issue, but I wanted to be home when the girls were home from school. Anyway, my nurse came in a couple days before and said, you're all healed. I said, I am not. Yes, you are. So I don't look any different than I did last week. But I was. So I got to start and finish Christmas Eve. And the Lord provided people watching our family when I was away, getting kids off to school in the morning, watching babies, working out who went with me and the timing of that and where I'd stayed and how I got there and how I got home. It was just neat to see him work all that out. I do want to thank each and every one of you for your part in this, whether you've supplied a meal or prayed or sent an email or a phone call or a card or whatever. We have had so many people play such important roles in our lives in supportive ways. The Lord has blessed us in that way. God is real, and he wants to be a part of your life. He cares for every detail of your life, even the seemingly insignificant ones, like soup. I have been learning to stop asking the whys and start asking the whats. What is the Lord's purpose in my life through this? What do I need to learn? What can I teach others? What is he going to do for me today? It's neat. It's neat getting up in the morning and watching what the Lord has today that he's going to do in your life. I don't know what the future holds. I just got the results of my CAT scan from last week, and it was kind of good, kind of bad. The spots on my spine are still there, but in the last 6 months, they haven't spread, they haven't grown. I do have 2 spots on my liver. I had 7 spots to start off with. They're gone. I had another one back in the July CAT scan that I had. Just one. But it's gone, and I didn't even have chemo. I have 2 spots, so I'm waiting to see what the Lord's going to do. I don't know what my future holds, but I know he holds my future, and he is in control. And I am so thankful for that, because there isn't a better place to be, even with cancer, than in the Lord's hands, in the middle of his will, watching him work. Is cancer what I wanted, what I was expecting? No, not at 40. Not ever. I think we all think we're immune to all these things. There's a reason why he allowed it. And I desire his reason to be worked out in my life. And if I can be an encouragement and bring honor and glory to him through it, then that's all. That's all I want. It's neat when he gives us verses. He always reinforces it through people, through songs, through devotions. I just want to share some of the verses that he has impressed on us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, that's always been a favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. This makes no sense to us. So to lean on our own understanding doesn't work. We need to lean on his. He knows what he's doing. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And Dave and I, we kind of chuckle on our way to doctor's appointments. Some trust in horses and some in chariots. And we equate that with doctors. I don't know if they'd appreciate being compared to horses and chariots, but anyway. But we will trust in the Lord our God. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter how bleak the situation looks. Our God is in control, and he is most definitely able to heal. This is one that was kind of neat that I've been given a couple of times, Isaiah 40 and 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And then there's Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There are many more that I can list. One that has been coming up over and over again in the last couple of months, weeks, days, is Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I am learning to trust in the Lord through this. I am learning that his ways are best. We may not like them. We may not want them. But his ways are best. And as I live this journey the Lord has allowed me to take, I am learning that it is not so much about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And to be thankful for each and every day that you have. None of us know what tomorrow holds. In closing, I would like to share a song with you that has become my theme song since I heard it a number of years ago, before all this happened. May we all desire to be a blessing. And there is one thing that was kind of neat on the way in this morning, the radio going, and all of a sudden I said to Lori, there's my song. It's not on the radio very much anymore. But the one that I'm going to play for you right now was played for me this morning on the way in. That was just another hug from God, as far as I was concerned. Anyway, whatever you're facing, choose not to be bitter, but to rejoice, because the Lord is in control. Thank you for your time, for listening, and keep praying, because my journey's not over yet. And I appreciate the prayers and the support, the encouragement and the hugs, and all your beautiful faces. Thank you so much. So just listen to this song.
Thank you. Well, ladies, we've been truly blessed this morning, haven't we? Thank you, Debbie, for sharing your story. And if any of you are interested in getting a copy of this, first of all, if you have the internet and you have a computer, by this weekend on www.bethelbible.com, you can just click on there and you will find the message. But if you don't have the internet and you would still like to give a copy to someone, there's a $2 charge, but they will be available the next coffee hour. So you can just let us know. We'll have a sign-up sheet. I'll probably put it at the front here. If you would like one, that way we know how many copies to make. Next coffee hour is February the 9th, and Kathy Biederman. I'm not sure what the name is, but we're going to call it the Chocolate Extravaganza. So look forward to something interesting. And then Mona Kane will be sharing with us the 5 love languages. So we're looking forward to next coffee hour as well. Just a little reminder, your name tags, if you could take them off and place them in the table in front of you. We have a prayer request little bucket up here. If you have some special prayer requests, there's a group of ladies that meet afterwards to pray over these things and also take them home. And many of you were probably touched by the message this morning and have people like that in your life, or maybe it's happening to you. And there could be other situations. It doesn't have to be cancer. There's many things in life that happen that are quite devastating, even relationships and things of the heart. And so if you would like someone to pray with you afterwards, there'll be some ladies standing over there against the wall. Please don't leave. Don't leave with the burdens that you came in with. I'm sure that this was encouraging, but some would like a little bit more. And you know what? We can take it to the Lord. And He has an amazing way of bringing answers that we've never expected. Everything from soup to someone just confirming with you a promise that God gave you, and someone comes up and says, I think I have a verse for you. Or you open a book and you find it in there. Or you turn the radio on and, whoa, there it is. And so don't limit God as to how He can answer and how He can speak to you. And if you would like some one-on-one time with somebody, please stay afterwards. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, it's been good to be here this morning. We have been filled up with the joy of who You are. And truly, we do stand in awe of the God that You are. You are our deliverer, our provider, our redeemer. You are everything that we will ever need. All our hope is in You. And Lord, I just ask that for each lady here, You know their hearts. Would You meet them where they are today? And would You fill them up with everything that is from You, that is good, that is true, that is lovely? Let them think on these things. And may we focus on You today and lift Your name up in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.